ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय बापरे भगवान श्यामां पीतवास निजायुदा श्रीवत्सादिवीर अंखे छान लक्षण उपलक्षिता वार्फरे भगवन श्यामा पीतवासा निजायुदा श्रीवत्सारिवीरंखेच्छा लक्षणार उपलक्षिता. Translation: In Dvapara Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears with a dark blue complexion, wearing yellow garments. The Lord's transcendental body is marked in this incarnation with Sri Vatsa and other distinctive ornaments, and he manifests his personal weapons. Purport: The Lord's transcendental body in the Dvapara Yuga can be compared to the color of a dark blue flower. The Lord exhibits his personal transcendental weapons, such as Sudarshana Chakra, and all the limbs of his body, especially his hands and feet, are decorated with auspicious symbols, such as the lotus flower and the flag. On his chest, the Lord manifests the Kastuba jewel, as well as the auspicious Sri Vatsa. A whirl of hair curling from left to right on the right side of the Lord's chest. Actually, such auspicious marks as Kastuba and Sri Vatsa, as well as the weapons of the Lord, are present in all Vishnu avatar incarnations. Srila Jiva Goswami explained that these universal characteristics of the Lord mentioned by the sage Karbhajana are indications of the Krishna avatar. Because Krishna is the source of all incarnations, all the symptoms of all other incarnations are found in his transcendental body. Om Agyantimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pongum Langayate Girim Yatkripa tamaham vande Shri Guru Dinataranam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraguna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasaraguna Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayamupa Kadamahyam Darati Sabarandigam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaurasvishe Namaha Tavasmi Radhikanatha Karmana Manasagiram Krishna Kante Tavaivasmi Yuvame Vagatir Mamam Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Parte Tamaham Sadam Tadiyayati Janatu Govindo Mamdayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunam Ritavahini Kripaya Nijaparajadasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Tavaivasmi Tavaivasmi Na Jivani Tvayavina Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam Nayanam Charanantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Padithanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. In Dvapara Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears with a darkish complexion, wearing yellow garments. The Lord's transcendental body is marked in this incarnation with Srivasa and other distinctive marks. And he manifests his personal weapons. So this is a beautiful dhyana. Dhyana means meditation. This is a beautiful verse for meditating on Sri Krishna. It describes different characteristics, unique characteristics of the Lord. That his complexion is blackish blue. In the purport it says like a blue flower. A dark blue flower. There is a flower in India called Karnikar. So they come in yellow and blue varieties. And once Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a Karnikar, blue Karnikar flower, and he went into ecstasy to see that color because it reminded him of Krishna. Specifically, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam which describes Krishna coming from the forest in the evening with all of his cowherd boyfriends. Dust has risen in the air from the hooves of the cows walking, and the boys are playing bugles, making a beautiful sound as the sun is setting. Krishna is leading the way, and it is described that he has a Karnikar flower, a blue Karnikar flower, tucked behind his ear. Krishna's darkish complexion is sometimes the subject of jokes between he and his friends. Sometimes the gopis will call him a black snake. He's so devious. He's like a black snake. There's one dialogue in Padyavali. Krishna is asked, "How is it that you are so black?" And Krishna says, "Well, that's obvious. I was born at midnight." And then a friend says, "No, it's not because he was born at midnight. It's because he regularly takes bath in the Yamuna River. And the Yamuna River is Shyama, is darkish in complexion. Ganga is white, Sweta Ganga, and Yamuna is darkish. If you see a picture of Yamuna Devi, a painting of her, she has a dark, blackish, bluish complexion, and she rides on a crocodile." So the other friend said, "No, it's not because he was born at midnight. It's because he regularly takes bath in the Yamuna River." And then another said, "No, that's not the reason. He's black because his mother used to feed him milk from a black cow." And finally, someone else said, "No, he's black because the gopis always look at him and they have blackish kajal around their eyes. And they take him with their eyes, they take him through their eyes into their hearts. And that makes him black." Srila Prabhupada, in one of his works, he says, Krishna is black because when there is absence of all material colors, then there is black. That is Krishna. Another explanation I've heard is that all colors together, they make black. Whatever the case, Krishna's blackish color is very attractive. It is attractive to the mind and to the heart of all the residents of Vrindavan, of all those who are fortunate to behold his beautiful form. The name Krishna means attractive. I was explaining the other night in the Namhata program that there is another, that the name Krishna is related to the Sanskrit word for plowing, kshri, or traction. The Vaishya, Krishna describes in the Gita, the activities of the Vaishya, kshri go rakshya vanijyam, that the Vaishya protects cows and plows the fields, does agriculture, so that plow is pulled and there is a traction made So Kshri becomes Krishna. They are related words. Krishna pulls the minds and hearts of all the devotees, of all liberated souls. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there is a question raised that Sukadeva Goswami, it is said that Sukadeva Goswami was attracted by the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, by the description of Krishna's beautiful form, his pastimes, his qualities. How is it that Sukadeva Goswami was attracted and purified even though he was already a liberated soul? That's a question raised in the Bhagavatam. And the answer is the famous Atmarama verse, Atmaramascha Munayo, that even Atmaramas, even people who are self-satisfied, like the four Kumaras, like Sukadeva Goswami, these personalities have no material desire whatsoever, even they are attracted by Krishna. Although they have no material desire, they are attracted by Krishna because Krishna is all attractive. He is the most attractive. And his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are not in any way mundane. And so the Santa Kumar, the four Kumaras, they smell Tulsi from Krishna's lotus feet. And they're attracted. It's not a material desire. It's not a material experience. Their spiritual heart, their spiritual soul is drawn to Krishna. It is also described that Krishna wears yellow garments. Beautiful yellow garments that are sometimes compared to lightning. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a beautiful description in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. He says that Krishna is like a blackish, bluish cloud. And in that cloud then there are lightning streaks. And these are his yellow garments. Then he says that there is a flock of white swans or ducks flying in the air, and that is Krishna's pearl necklace. And the rain falls from that bluish cloud, and that is his beautiful glances and smiles. And that rain falls on the fields of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, and nourishes them. They are lifted up, their hairs stand on end in ecstasy on seeing Krishna's beautiful smile and his receiving his sidelong glances. So Krishna's beautiful yellowish garments are also sometimes stated to be similar to the color of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is Gaurangi. She is golden. Her form is golden. Her complexion is golden. And she wears bluish garments. Krishna wears yellow garments like Radhika, like her color, to remind him of her. And she wears yellowish garments. She wears bluish garments to remind her of Krishna. Because Krishna is black, Shyama, and his garments are yellow, so there is this black-yellow contrast. Therefore, it is sometimes described that the bees of Vrindavan, they are also black and with yellow stripes. So they think that he is their chief. He is one of them. They go and they collect nectar from one flower to the next. And Krishna, he goes and he associates with one devotee to the next, like a bee taking nectar. So he takes the nectar of his devotees' association. And he's always seeking that nectar. He's always seeking that rasa, as the bees are always seeking the nectar in flowers. Krishna's transcendental body is marked with the Shri Vatsa. So this is a golden line on Krishna's chest. There are five types of liberation: Samipya, Sharshti, Sarupya, Sayujya, and Salokya. So Sayujya, or merging into the Lord's form, that is abhorred by the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnava doesn't seek any type of liberation. the devotee only seeks to love Krishna. Sayuja is considered to be like hell, merging into the form of the Lord. But the other types of liberation, although they are not the aspiration of the devotee, they are accepted by the devotee. So Salokya means to live on the same planet. Samipya means to have to live in the proximity of the Lord, to live very near. Krishna is my neighbor. Vishnu is my neighbor. Sharshti means to share similar opulence. And Swarupya means to have a similar form to the Lord. So all the residents of Vaikuntha, they have a form similar to that of Lord Narayan. But there is one distinguishing feature, and that is Narayan has this Srivatsa, a golden lion on his chest, that is non-different from Srimati Lakshmi Devi. It is not that they have identical features. They have the same form. Doesn't mean they have identical features and you cannot distinguish one from the other. No, we all have a similar form. And we have very unique, distinct characteristics. So the residents of Vaikuntha all have unique characteristics. But they share in sharing a similar form. But there is this, one of the specific unique characteristics of Lord Narayan is this Srivatsa. How did Lakshmi achieve this position to always reside on the chest of the Lord as his devotee, as this golden lion? That is described in the Shastra, that of all Krishna's pastimes, the Rasa Lila in Sri Vrindavan Dham is topmost. Jai Jai Rasa Lila Sarva Manuram. This Rasa Lila bewilders the mind. It is the most wonderful of Sri Krishna's pastimes. And because it is most attractive, how Krishna dances with his devotees, many untold dances and movements, and he expands himself between each and every one of his devotees. And each devotee thinks that he is only with them. As other musicians, they play beautiful instruments, different ragas, different rhythms they play. And Krishna and his devotees, the gopis, they please one another with different varieties of dance. So Lakshmi desired to partake in this pastime of the Lord. She desires to partake in the Raslila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discusses this with Venkata Bhatta. He was the head pujari in Srirangam in South India. So she performed great penance and austerities for thousands of years in order to gain entry into the Rasmandala, into the Raslila, pastime of the Lord. And after thousands of years of austerity, Sri Krishna appeared to her. What would you like, Lakshmi? You are performing such great austerities for such an extended period of time. What is it that you desire? She said, I want to partake in the Raslila. That is my desire. Could Krishna give it to her? No. I cannot award you that. Why? Lakshmi, the greatest of Vaishnavas, she is the head of an entire Sampradaya, Vaishnav Sampradaya. Why is she denied entry into Raslila? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poses this question to Venkata Bhatta. Why was she not allowed entry? She is not allowed entry because she has not undertaken the proper process to achieve that prayojana, that goal. Tapasya, austerities and penances, is not the process for achieving such a goal. Ravana performed austerities, Hiranyakashipu performed austerities, and they got material benedictions. Yogis perform austerities and they get different types of siddhi. That can be done. Material opulence, yoga siddhi, even mukti may be achieved through tapasya, through austerities. But not such a coveted thing as entry into Krishna's most intimate, most sweet, most confidential of all of his pastimes. So what is the process? What was the process that Lakshmi neglected to perform? Let us describe by Sri Rupa Goswami, Tishtan Braje Tad Anuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayed Akilam Api Upadeshasaram. Braje Tad Anuragi Jananugami. Jana means people. Anugami means to follow. Braje Tad Anuragi. Anuraga means to follow their mood. Follow the mood, learn the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. That is what Rupa Goswami teaches us, is the essence of all advice. Follow the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Lakshmi didn't do it. That spontaneous love for Krishna, unimpeded by any sense of his majesty, of his greatness. That Lakshmi was not prepared to do. Because after all, she is Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So to give that up, to give up her designation, her position as Lakshmi, her relationship with Narayan as the majestic Lord of all that is Bhagavan, and become a simple villager following in the mood of this simple-hearted devotion, the spontaneous simple-hearted devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, that she was not prepared to do. And she didn't do, at least as Lakshmi. She is, of course, an expansion of Srimati Radharani. And so therefore, because of not undertaking the appropriate sadhana, she was not able to achieve that goal. So Krishna said, I cannot allow you entry. I am sorry. But I will give you a consolation prize. You can be always on my chest. You can always reside on my chest as a golden line, a golden hair. That is Shri Vatsa. Shri means Lakshmi. Shri Vatsa. Also described here is that Krishna is wearing, it is mentioned in the other ornaments, other distinctive ornaments. So another distinctive ornament of Sri Krishna mentioned in the purport is his Kastuba Mani, his Kastuba jewel. This is a very special, beautiful jewel. In the Bhagavatam, there is the story of the Shamantaka jewel. There was a great controversy, intrigue, political intrigue related to this very amazing jewel that would produce gold every day. How many kilos? Does anyone remember? Hmm? 80. 80 kilos of gold a day, the jewel would produce. So who wouldn't want such a jewel? Therefore, there was so much politics over it. Shamantaka jewel was given by the sun, Vivishvan, Surya, Suryadev, to Satrajit. and Satrajit, he would walk around wearing this jewel, and it made him look like the sun god himself. So he would walk around Dwarka, and the residents of Dwarka would come running to Krishna and say, "Krishna, you are so great that the sun god himself has come to Dwarka to see you." He says, it's not Suryadev. That's Satrajit. He has a wonderful jewel called Shamantaka. So Rupa Goswami describes, I think it's in Lalita Madhava, how previously this Shamantaka jewel was owned by a demon named Shankachuda. Shankachuda. And we also read of this pastime in the Krishna book, but I don't think it specifically mentions the name of the jewel as Shamantaka. So Shankachuda, he came to Vrindavan, and he kidnapped, or tried to kidnap, some gopis. Started walking away with them. And they were calling out, "Krishna, Krishna, help us, save us!" As devotees do, when devotee has some, devotee always calls out to Krishna. But when there is some difficulty, then they call out to Krishna for protection. Pahi pahi jagat pate deva deva jagat guru. Uttara, she called out to Krishna, "Save me, save me, Lord of the world, God of gods, Guru of the universe, come and help me." Ashvatthama has sent a brahmastra to my embryo, the child within my womb. So the gopis called to Krishna, "Save us, save us." And Krishna came and killed that demon, Shankachuda. And he took a very precious jewel that that demon was carrying in his turban. Wore this jewel, and it gave him great pride. Possibly that jewel was even shaped like a conch shell. It gave him great pride wearing that jewel. So Krishna took it. And according to Rupa Goswami, Krishna gave that jewel to Balaram and said, I want to give this jewel to someone very special, someone very dear to me, but I cannot do it openly. I don't want people to see my favoritism, and there are so many elders here. I want to give this jewel to Radhika. So I'll give it to you, and you can give it to her. So Radhika, she had that jewel, Shamantaka. That is her jewel. And Krishna has this jewel, Kastuba. And in some descriptions it is said that Krishna's Kastuba Mani represents the living entities. Represents the jiva. So Krishna's keeping the jiva. Always by his, he keeps the living entities by his chest. And I have read in other descriptions that when Krishna feels great affection for somebody, then that jewel also brightens. Resonating Krishna's affection. Other ornaments are mentioned. So other ornaments that Krishna has, very characteristic, are his peacock feather. Bhagavatam describes how, and his flute as well. His flute is a very specific ornament that Krishna carries with him. In Vaikuntha, then he has gada and chakra. These are weapons that he uses, as well as his shankha and padma. Shankha, chakra, gada, padma. Conch, lotus, disc and club. So the disc and the club are for the demons, to punish them. And the conch shell and the lotus are to bless the devotees, as he blessed Dhruva Maharaj, when Dhruva Maharaj performed penance and austerities for a long time, Krishna finally appeared to him. And Dhruva wanted to say something, but he was so overwhelmed. Krishna! He has appeared before me. He couldn't speak. He tried to open his mouth and sound wouldn't come out. Words wouldn't be pronounced. And then Krishna touched Dhruva's head with his conch shell. And then Dhruva spoke such beautiful prayers. Eloquent, beautiful prayers. With Krishna's blessing. Krishna's blessing given with a conch shell. And in Dwarka he carries also a lotus, he carries bow, Dhanur Dhara, that is one of Krishna's names, carries the bow, Gada Dhara, he carries a club, and with these weapons he establishes Dharma throughout his realm, he punishes demons. In Vrindavan he doesn't carry such weapons. We don't read that he killed Putana with his chakra. No. He sucked her breast milk and the poison from her breast. That was his way to kill her. And with Bakasura, he didn't use a club. He stood with one foot on his bottom beak and he held the other beak with his hands and bifurcated him. He didn't have bows and arrows to kill Agasura. He was thinking, what to do? All my friends, they have entered into Agasura's mouth. This great demon, they have entered into his mouth and are walking into his belly. What shall I do? Thinking. He was confused. Because he is Mugdata. Mugdata means he is forgetful. He has forgotten that he is Bhagawan. He has forgotten that he is Sarvagyata, knowing everything. He thinks, I am Gopal. I am a coward boy. What will I do? My friends have entered the demon's mouth. Then he gets an idea. Okay, I will also enter. And he starts to walk up that broad tongue, like a highway, into that fierce wind that was blowing, hot wind, that was Agasura's breath. And as he enters into Krishna's mouth, the demigods start to lament, alas, alas, Krishna has also gone in there. But Krishna begins to grow like a tree. Not so slowly like a tree, but in height. Like a tree. And he bursts through the roof of Agasura's head. And so no bows and arrows. He uses a different technique in Vrindavan. Dances on Kaliya's hoods. Kicks Shakatasura with his butter soft feet. The cart demon Shakatasura. With Trinavarta, he became very heavy. Trinavarta is trying to carry Krishna away with a great whirlwind, dust storms everywhere. No one can see. But Yasoda knows my baby Krishna is somewhere, but I cannot find him. He's been taken away by that whirlwind. He's crying on the ground. And Krishna makes himself heavy. Trinavarta comes tumbling to the ground and dies. So Krishna has no such weapons in Vrindavan. And there he carries a rope, a buffalo horn, and his flute, Venudhara. In Dwarka he is Dhanurdhara. Gadadhara, Chakradhari, the carrier of the bow, the carrier of the club, the carrier of the chakra. But in Vrindavan he is Venudhara or Murlidhara, the carrier of the flute, Vamsidhara. Vamsi is very long and gives very deep notes. Last year, a classical flautist, musician, Indian classical flautist, visited Auckland, so we went for a concert. Did you go, Prana? Renu Majumdar. And he had one flute, it was long like this and thick. And he played it, and the notes were so deep. I could feel them, I could feel the vibration in my bones. No joke. I could feel the. And Krishna plays a very deep flute, Vamsi. And he has another flute that is very small. And it gives very high-pitched, shrill notes. That is Murli. And he has another flute in between. And so with this flute, although it is not a weapon, he controls all the residents of Vrindavan. He uses it for calling the cows. He can play the names of all of his cows with his flute. In the evening, after herding the cows, when it's time to go home, he climbs into a tree. And he has a jeweled necklace, which is like counting beads. We have our japamala for chanting how many times we chant Harinam. He has a manimala, a jeweled garland, to count his cows. Climbs into the tree with his manimala, and he plays the names of his cows. Mridangamukhi. Mridangamukhi comes. Krishna pulls the bead. Okay, Mridangamukhi is here. Like this, he counts all of his cows. They're all here, let's go home. Back to Nandagram. So he uses it to call his cows. He also uses it to call his gopis. He goes to Vamsivat, Vamsivata, Satashtita, Karshan, Venur. Svanar Gopir Gopinatha Shriye Suna. I offer my obeisances to Gopinath. Shriman Rasa Rasarambi, who is the enjoyer of Rasa, the embodiment of Rasa. He is at Vamsivat, playing his celebrated Vamsi, which he uses to call to Karshan. Earlier we spoke about Krishna and Kshri, meaning attraction. So Karshan is another related word. Karshan Venu, he plays it and attracts, he calls Svanar, all the gopis, Svanar Gopir, with that sound. There's a beautiful section of the Bhagavatam chapter, the 10th canto, called Venu Git. Describes how all the residents of Vrindavan are bewildered by the sound of Krishna's flute. When they hear that sound, then the cows that are wandering on the mountainside, they stop chewing their grass. Cows are always chewing. If they're not chewing fresh grass, then they bring up some cud, undigested grass, they chew that. They have five stomachs. They stop chewing. Unusual for a cow. Stop chewing to hear the sound of his flute. And the deer, they both stand, male and female deer, together they stand. They stop wandering about the forest, they stand transfixed, listening to that beautiful sound. And the gopis are jealous. They can stand with their husbands and enjoy Krishna's flute song. But we have to hide and listen. We have to go somewhere, the normal sea that we are enjoying. Otherwise, our fathers-in-laws, mothers-in-laws, parents, others, superiors, elders, they get angry at us. And Yamuna River, she hears that sound and she stops flowing. Yamuna River stops flowing. And she tells the wind, please bring me some mercy. Krishna is playing such a beautiful song with his flute. I cannot go there, but please blow some dust from his feet. Blow it into me, that I will get his mercy. And the bamboo plants along the bank of the Yamuna, they are very proud. They stand very tall. That's our boy. That flute, bamboo flute, that's our boy. Our descendant is so intimately connected with Krishna, so intimately associated, drinking the nectar of his lips. And the gopis, they are aboard. How is this? That bamboo flute is a male and is touching Krishna's lips. This is not good. This is not right. Just a bamboo flute, piece of wood, and it is getting so much nectar from Krishna's lips, which belongs to us, our rightful property. Bhagavatam describes how once Krishna was playing his flute and the peacocks became very jubilant and they started dancing, beautiful peacock dance with their extended tail. And they make this sound when they dance, shake their feathers. And so Krishna, seeing their peacocks dancing, he was very happy. So he started to play his flute even more beautifully, expressing the prem, the love in his heart through the sound of his flute. And when the peacocks heard a more beautiful flute song, they became inspired, and out of gratitude, they wanted to show Krishna how pleased they were with such beautiful ragas, such beautiful song from the flute. They started to dance even more beautifully. And in this way, there was a spiral of increasing reciprocation between Krishna and the peacocks. So then, after some time, the peacocks, they decided they want to give Krishna something. They have danced for his pleasure. They want to give him something that is most dear to them. So the peacocks, they are most proud of their tail feathers. The more long and full the tail feathers of a peacock, the more proud he is. So the peacock started to let loose their tail feathers for Krishna. And Krishna was so touched that he collected those peacock feathers and placed them in his hair. He always keeps the peacock feathers in his hair to show his love for these peacocks who are expressing their appreciation for his dancing. So these are some of the other distinctive ornaments of Sri Krishna. Otherwise, the personal weapons are described. So Krishna, he has these beautiful symbols on his hand. He has the symbol of a lotus, of a conch, of a club, of an umbrella, lightning. What else? So many beautiful symbols are there on Krishna's hands and Krishna's feet. And when the residents of Vrindavan see the Krishna's footprints through Vrindavan forest, in the sand of Vrindavan forest, they are filled with great happiness, even though they are lamenting that they are not with Krishna personally. Seeing these footprints, they feel Krishna's presence, and they take the reddish kumkum that is found within these footprints, and they decorate their bodies with that kumkum. So these are some beautiful descriptions of Sri Krishna, the avatari, the source of all incarnation, the original personality of Godhead, All other manifestations of Godhead are portions or portions of plenary portions. Ete cham sakalo pumsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vakalam Lokam Ridyanti Yuge Yuge. Millennium after millennium, so many different incarnations appear, and these are portions or portions of plenary portions of Krishna. But Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. He is the Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. He is Ishvara Parama. He is the supreme Parama Ishvara, controller of all that is Parameshvara. So we will conclude here. We should try to meditate on Krishna. This is a beautiful dhyana, meditation verse. We chant his holy name. We come to see his deity. We try to invoke Krishna within our minds and hearts, that we can awaken our love for him and be with him. He wants us to be with him. And our soul yearns to be with him, because that is our rightful position, our only rightful position. So we should make that the goal of our lives. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
I read somewhere that the peacock, the impression that the blend the eyes rather than.
Oh. Okay, I have not read that. I have not heard that. Thank you. Anyone else? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveta Bhaktavindiki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.